Well, Australian thoroughbred bloodstock in recent years have gone very close to winning Australia's greatest race, the Melbourne Cup, having had a fifth placing, a third placing, and a second placing. Darren Dance joins us on the program this morning. Hi, Darren.
Morning, Joe.
Well, you're having another crack at it this year. You're bringing out a French stayer by the name of Tiberian, who arrives next Saturday on the first shipment of horses.
Yeah, that's right. He's our 2017 competitor after, unfortunately, we lost Heartbreak City earlier in the year through injury. And fortunate enough that we purchased Tiberian late last year as a project for the future. So he's come on really well.
He's an entire that's now won three of his four starts this campaign, and the only failure was in the recent Group 1 Grand Prix de St. Cloud over 2,400 metres.
Yeah, that's right. We purchased him in November, and it really is a 2018 project, but he's come on that well. He's right for this year and qualified. So, as you say, he's won all bar one start this year, and in that Group 1, he got into a lead battle with the Godolphin horse, and they just both went far too hard for far too long, and they both weakened out of it. And the trainer blamed himself for having the horse underdone on the day and too fresh, because he was mindful that the horse was coming to Australia for the Melbourne Cup and was just being a little bit easy on him, and he raced too fresh. So sort of got past that, and then he came out and won that Group 2 last start really well, sitting off the pace. And like I said to Alain, better to learn the lesson in June than in November.
Now, there's a very interesting story behind Tiberian, and that's around his sire. Can you explain to our listeners the background there?
Well, I'm pretty sure he was the only Group 2 winner in the world that's been sired by a horse, even though he's a thoroughbred, that was used at a French stud purely as what's called a teaser, and the teaser's role is to check the mares before covering by the commercial stands to make sure they're ready to be covered. And so he was a non-commercial horse, Tiberius Caesar, and he was a tractor teaser, and so he'd tease up the mares to make sure they're ready for cover by the commercial side. And then at the end of each season, most studs would then give that teaser a mare to cover to keep their libido up for the following year. As you can imagine, it's a thankless job. So in this case, they gave him a Group 2 place mare to breed for a bit of fun and race in France. And, of course, you wouldn't believe it, but he covered one mare that year. And how come Tiberian now a Group 3 and a Group 2 winner and en route to the Melbourne Cup? So I doubt that would have ever happened, because most teasers are non-thoroughbreds. Well, particularly here in Australia, they're non-thoroughbreds, they're ponies or, you know, whatever. So, yeah, it's like just come from total obscurity. If he happens to win the Melbourne Cup, it'll be an amazing story.
It will be. Now, what's happened to poor old Tiberius Caesar? Has he been elevated from the role of teaser at the stud?
Well, I think there's a little bit more interest in him now from everyone concerned. And it's just amazing, isn't it, Joe, in this game? You never know where a good horse is going to come from. And you can go to the sales and buy a $1 or $2 million yearling and it can be slow, or you can buy a $5,000 yearling and it can be a Group 1 winner. So this just illustrates that point that keeps everyone in the game, because you just never know where the next good horse is coming from. Yeah, so Tiberius Caesar's, he's been looked at in different eyes over there now.
What a fascinating story. Well, back to the horse himself. He's got to travel here and go through all of the rigours of that, and then settling in to Australia and, as always, it's a real challenge for any horse to run well in a Melbourne Cup. But every time you've lined up with one, you've weighed in, which is pretty amazing, and then to go so close with Heartbreak City.
Yeah, look, you're right. It's hard enough to find a good horse that you can actually buy into as everyone knows, we bought 50% of this horse, and the original owners have kept a half share, which is fantastic. I love it when you can buy a horse because it gives you some security that they believe in the horse as well, and they just don't want to take the money and run. So it's very, very hard to find a horse that's physically, good enough, got enough class to, get to the race and be qualified and then buy it. And then that's kind of step one. And then really the travel component is the next big step. So, look, he's travelled a fair bit around Europe. He's travelled well to quarantine and he's settled in quarantine. And he's, for a stallion or a colt, he's really laid back. He's doing everything right in his work, but he's got to get on the plane, he's got to travel, as you say. And then, I won't be able to relax until probably 48 hours after he arrives, once he's been bedded, to make sure that, the key is not to lose too much weight. But I found in the last couple of years, IRT, who organise all the travel, do a really good job, and the planes have got air conditioning in them now for the horses, and they seem to all travel a lot better than what they were when, I bought Dandino and Jackalbury out. It was, they were stopping three times and opening up to let all the hot air out. So the air conditioned planes are much better. The horses seem to travel a lot better, but there's no guarantees. So once he gets here, we'll find out how much weight he lost on the trip. Typically, they can lose anywhere from 5 to 15 kilos. When Heartbreak City came out, he actually put a kilo on. Somehow he put a kilo on, so don't know about that. But he travelled.
I can relate to that when I'm on long haul flights. I'm sitting for a long time and eating and drinking to your heart's content, watching movies. You can put on a bit of weight.
You can. I don't know what Heartbreak was doing, but yeah, he's the only horse I've ever had to put on weight. But look, if Tyberry can travel over and lose no more than 2 or 3 kilos and not be dehydrated or sick 48 hours after, we'll know we're in the game, and then really he's just got to settle in and eat and do his work, and then be in good form on the day. But this is the Melbourne Cup; it's pretty much a challenge to get a horse in the race, let alone get a horse that can perform on the day. It's just so difficult, and when you see what Al Mandon did to him last week, you think, wow, he's going to be tough to beat.
Well, whatever you've been doing in recent years, it's working, and good luck trying to go that one step closer to victory.
I think Lloyd's been standing in my way. It makes it very difficult. But anyway, look, we're having a go, and we're just average people just battling away, and we're having a crack, and that's what the game's all about.
It sure is. Now, another horse you imported to Australia called Crackerjack King, he didn't make it to the Cups. That was the aim with him, but he only had 4 starts in Australia before his career was curtailed through injury. And one of his better performances was a 3rd in the Underwood Stakes behind Foreteller and Happy Trails. Now, he's been retired to stand at Wyndham Park Stud in Victoria this spring.
Yes. Look, he's a half brother to the horse we had called Jackalbury, who ran 3rd in the Melbourne Cup some years prior, and we bought Crackerjack King. He was a little bit sort of a sharper horse. We weren't sure if he'd run the 2 mile. We thought he might be, best a Cox Plate or Caulfield Cup horse. It was doubtful he'd be able to run the 2 mile being by Shamadale. It's an interesting story, Joe, because we bought the horse and settlement was on the Wednesday, and he was entered in a Group 1 the day after. And for us to collect any part of that money, the money had to be in their account. So we had to get the money from Australia to France via England. And I think the money went in on 4 o'clock on the Wednesday, and the horse duly won a Group 1 on the Thursday. So it was a good start. We got a fair bit of our money back the next day, which is ridiculous, but that's what happened. He campaigned over in England with Marco Boddy. And ran in some nice races there. And then we brought him out to Australia and re-homed him with David Hayes. And David had him going really, really well. And if you haven't seen the vision of that race where he ran 3rd to Foreteller, I'd encourage you to go and have a look at it, because I'd defy anyone to tell me that he shouldn't have won that race. He was, in fact, 6 wide the whole trip. And, he ran amazing. He should have won that race. And he would have been probably standing for 20,000 somewhere if that had happened. But that's racing. We know that. But You won't believe it when you watch the replay, Joe.
Mm. So what will he stand at Wyndham Park?
He's standing for 6,000, so he's got foals. So he stood there last year and he's got foal on the ground. And Kim McCullough, who owns Wyndham Park, is just delighted with the foals on the ground. They're just typical Jemadales. They've got good bone, good size, very correct, just a great temperament. And this horse, you know, his pedigree is outstanding. Be one of the strongest pedigrees in the stud book of any horse standing in Australia. And, you know, Jackalbury had his first lot of yearlings go through Karaka last year, and one of them made over 400,000, you know, which is an amazing result for a staying horse, you know, in his first season. So I'm sure Crackerjack King's got every chance, and he's going to cover a good book of mares this year, including 6 or 7 from our farm. And he'll have every chance because we'll send the progeny to the best trainers in the land to give the sire every chance.
Yeah, he's a lovely type of horse, a big grey, perfectly conformed.
Yeah, he's a lovely animal. Unfortunately, he went amiss after that good run he put in on that hard track. But look, his foals are great. I've got a couple of yearlings here. And, you know, at the end of the day, the horse had, you know, just 14 starts for 7 wins. And, you know, he was a Group 1 winner over 2,000 metres in Italy and, you know, third in the Underwood Stakes over 1,800. So, you know, he's going to be a real chance to deal with our mares. And, you know, Jemadale's such a proven line in Australia. You know, even through Luke De Vega, it's just, you know, a fantastic cross.
Mm. Nice to talk to you, as always, Darren. Good luck with the hopefully safe arrival of Tiberian next weekend in Australia and that quest to win the Melbourne Cup.
Joe, I just hope you want to talk to me in the second week of November.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's hope we are. You've gone desperately close and, well, this horse, what an interesting story behind him as well. That would add to his mystique.
Thanks, Joe.
That's Darren Dance from Australian Thoroughbred Bloodstock talking to us on RSN 927. Of course, Crackerjack King now standing at Wyndham Park Stud here in Victoria this spring, and we're looking forward to the arrival of his latest import, Tiberian, from France next weekend.